B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mask.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B. Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mask.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
With the NFLPA trying to cut down on OTAs, could this be the perfect situation in which Shanahan can keep Jimmy G and have the number three pick sit for a year?
Ooh, well, I think it depends on who that number three pick is, right? I think that's really the thing, you know, more than anything. You know, of course, anybody that's listening to the podcast or anything like that, you know, I've been telling you that I feel like guys like Trey Lance and Justin Fields probably need a year. So that scenario, that makes sense, yeah, for those guys to be there and do that. Now, I'll get into the same thing I've said just with this all together. You Jimmy G, the 49ers, whether you draft a Lance or a Fields with the number three pick, there's a good chance they're a good football team this year and they go to the playoffs. And then we're going to have this car like, oh, do we really want to put Fields or Lance in? Jimmy G, he brought us deep into the playoffs two out of the last 3 years. I think that's very risky. You know, so I'm almost to the point where even with guys like Fields and Lance,
yeah,
I'm like, the hell was sitting out. Just let's play. Let's get out there and play.
So again, here's the latest reporting and analysis of the draft slash Pat's quarterback situation. Again, all eyes on San Francisco and Jimmy Garoppolo and what they're going to do at three and how they're going to handle the Garoppolo situation. So this is why this is relevant to me. That's Chris Sims on his podcast, Maz, hour number three of the program. Chris Sims finally, or for the first time, I think, showed a little crack in the foundation of that Niners thing about, no, we're keeping Garoppolo and he's going to be the guy to mentor the next guy. And that's our approach. Chris Sims today or yesterday, whenever this was yesterday, said, nope, whoever it is, even if the guy's not totally ready, get out there and play. And I, again, since he's so close with Kyle Shanahan, I'm just wondering, I'm hoping that that means the Niners are coming around to the fact that, well, maybe we'll play the rookie either way. And we don't need Garoppolo and his $24 million salary here. I'm just sort of willing that, like you, willing that to happen because I just can't stand the thought of Cam Newton.
Well, I'll tell you what, keep willing. The more people we get, the more power we have. And maybe we can actually make it happen. So I do, you know, look, I question whether or not they really want to pay Garoppolo to be a placeholder out there. And the one argument with San Francisco that I've dismissed from the beginning, and it relates to the quarterback thing directly, is this whole idea of, well, they deem themselves to be contenders right now. They're you know, they could go to the Super Bowl, as if the season 2 years ago, was the one that outweighs all the others that have taken place there in the last 5 years. That year is the outlier, and I understand that you look at it and say, well, you got a great run. Their defense took a hit last year. Who the hell knows if Garoppolo can stay healthy for 16 games anyway? Like, if you're a San Francisco fan, are you looking at it saying, really? You think like you're going to put it back together and get right back to where you were the year before? No, it's more than that. It's not just as simple as putting all the pieces back together and now you're going to win. Everything has changed. The whole conference has changed. The league has changed. Like, the idea, if I'm them, start the transition sooner rather than later. What are you waiting a year for?
Well, to me, that's not even the calculus. I think that's sort of overrated. We were a Super Bowl team. We're not a Super Bowl team. The contract, to me, is...
Well, that's the biggest one, sure.
To me, I think the contract is far more relevant, a far more urgent thing that they have to address. Can they, does the owner, they can afford it on the cap because Garoppolo's already on the cap. Does the owner want to pay Jimmy Garoppolo $24 million just to keep a seat warm? It's not many owners are going to give $24 million to a guy who's not the guy. That's real money. That doesn't happen. In that league, again, in Kansas City, when they drafted Mahomes and had Alex Smith keep the seat warm for that first year, Alex Smith was making 10. He wasn't making 24. So whether they're a Super Bowl team or not, it's the contract that's going to be the fault line there with Garoppolo. If the owner's willing to pay it, then I give them huge credit, putting their money where their mouth is and spending to solidify the most important position on the field. And if the owner's willing to do it, then wow. Good for them.
Especially how owners act in that league. That would take some real balls.
But I'd
they
still be
spending money.
I'd still be surprised if it happened.
Yeah, so would I. And look, Mike, all I'm saying is the argument that they were a Super Bowl contender, oh, that is just posturing.
Agreed.
It is posturing. That's all. Because, you know, prior to that year, you know when the last time they had a winning record was?
Oh, my God. Was it Mike Singletary?
2013.
Or John Harbaugh. I'm sorry. Yeah.
2013. They've had one winning year in the last 8 years, and they're going to try to sell that? They want to move the guy. They want to move him. Like, I'll be impressed if they keep him. Good for them. Like, that would be quite a statement. But if you're going to invest in that kind of player at the top of the draft, you're going to pay a quote-unquote backup or placeholder $24
million? It rarely happens. That to me, though, Super Bowl team or not, that's the issue there in San Francisco. Meanwhile, Mike Giardi, I heard this on Zolak and Bertrand. Mike Giardi was giving his latest on the Patriots quarterback situation and what's going on in Foxborough. And he dropped this, and I'm going to tell you, it has led to a developing opinion by me. Go ahead. There's Mike Giardi in the NFL Network.
Yeah, Andrew, and how many times did I quote players last year, sources within the building in New England saying it really would have helped if we had Cam signed earlier? Obviously, he signed on June 28th. To be a part of the team during the offseason training workouts, to get a good feel for his teammates, the area, the system, all that. The other thing was Jared Stidham. He's here. And while he was here last year, again, with not being able to do things on the field, not being able to be around your teammates like they are right now, at least some of them, they felt like he never really took the reins, grabbed them, and said, this is my job, which led to them go getting Cam Newton there at the end of June. So they feel like this is definitely a positive development. And mind you, I said this quite a bit last year, but there's a pretty good feeling about what Jared Stidham has done during the course of this offseason. I don't know if you want to take the cheese again. That's just what I'm being told, that they like sort of his demeanor right now, that they feel like there's a bit more urgency to his operation, if you will. He's the one who organized the workouts on the West Coast earlier this offseason. So, Baldy, maybe Jared Stidham is saying, I'm not done just yet. This isn't Cam's job just yet.
More Jared Stidham hyping. Can I give you my take first?
Please.
I'm rooting for him. I want him. I want him. I want Jared Stidham more than Cam Newton.
Oh, definitely.
Easily. To me, it's not even close. I want Jared Stidham over Cam Newton. So as outrageous as this is, and as derelict in their responsibilities as the Patriots have been in their quarterback transition, as badly as they've failed, and they have failed. The post-Tom Brady transition failed. Failed. If it's come down to this, Newton and Stidham, as gross as that is, give me Jared Stidham. If he's really looking good, really taking the reins, take it. Win the job. Be the guy. Honestly.
Oh, gosh, listen, no-brainer if you ask me. That would be a good outcome.
He's got more upside than Cam Newton. He's a better passer than Cam Newton. I'd rather have Jared Stidham. So if this isn't just total bullcrap, if he really looks good, is taking the reins, and there's a good feeling of him in Foxborough and all of this, then go ahead. Go ahead, give him the job over Cam Newton.
Well, because again, at least that would be a young guy who offers you a future and the promise of growth and getting better and all of that. Like, so that one I could live with. The Cam Newton thing to me is a dead end. That's just going nowhere. He even if he does get better, how much better is it going to get? Purely because of the weapons around him? It's never going to be good enough. I think he's cashed.
I suppose, yeah, there is upside with him, but I wanted all new faces in the quarterback room in 2021, and I don't get that, and these two are still here, so I'm not going to pick between the turd sandwich and the bag of crap. I don't want either of them. I'm not going to talk myself into Jared Stidham just because.
I will.
So I don't want either one of them either, but if you make me take one, I'll take the kid.
No, I want Stidham. Two thumbs down.
Stidham. Stidham.
This kid whose lack of professionalism had him going to Texas.
Cam, you remember when you won the MVP that year? That was so cool. That's my impression of Jared Stidham, because he sucks and he's a fanboy and he doesn't take the reins.
Yep. Yeah, lack of professionalism, had him going to weddings, not practicing his craft, and then you hear from Jimmy and his sources that he acts like a fanboy in the locker room and no one can take him seriously.
Hey, Cam, you remember that throw you made in the NFC Championship game? That was awesome.
Give me Stidham.
Ugh.
This is how badly they butchered it.
I mean, that's not even a decision, really. Stidham or Newton?
This is how badly they butchered it. That I now, my only hope for this season is Jared Stidham. But you know what? Fine. I'll take it hook, line, and sinker. He's a new guy. He's no longer a fanboy. He's grown up. He understands what it takes. And that's going to be the guy.
This is a new low. I thought the Hoyer thing was bad. Now you got a stiffy for Stiddy. Yep. I can't stand it. Boo.
Stiffy for Stiddy.
Yeah, listen, I'm not telling you I'm hook, line, and sinker. I'm not buying into any of it. I hope I'm wrong, though.
I'd rather have it be Stidham than Cam Newton.
Oh, yeah, well, that's a given.
Yeah, okay, Cam, so you remember that fumble in the Super Bowl? That wasn't your fault.
Do you agree? If it's only Newton or Stidham, wouldn't you rather have Stidham? Murray?
No, I don't want either of them.
No, well, not,
you have to pick one.
No, I don't. Pick one. Yes,
no,
you do.
Nope.
Yes,
if
you
it's
do.
If it's Sophie's choice, then I'll take the bullet.
What,
I'm done.
What, are you going to move to Finland?
Yeah. I'm not picking, but I can't stand either of them.
Create the Super League? Neither can I. You got to pick one because they're not doing anything. They're not going to pay for the. They're not going to pay Murray. They're not going to draft a guy high. And even if they do, they're not going to play the rookie in his first year. So just this year.
Murray, would you play the stupid game? Just listen to the question, okay?
I hate this.
No, no, just listen to play the stupid game, okay? Play the game, Murray.
Wait, did it used to be ABC? What happened to that?
Yeah, anybody but Cam, but anybody but Stidham, too. I don't want either of these guys back.
ABCOS, anybody but Cam or Stidham.
If we're going to play this game, then fine, let's play the game. Give them the job, then.
Murray, if one of them is to come out of the woodwork... Okay, if one of them is to come out of the woodwork.
Yeah, I suppose there's more upside with Stidham, so fine.
No,
yeah.
No, I knew you'd give in.
Stidham might be our only hope.
I just want to shut you both up.
No, Stidham might be your only hope, Murray.
That it's hopeless.
No, honestly, because, again, even if they draft a guy high, they're not going to play him. They're not playing the kid for a year at least, all right? And I think it's pretty well established that they're not going to go out and get any other veteran, unless maybe Garoppolo, and we'll see how that plays out. But that still feels kind of like a long shot at this point.
Thank God the Buccaneers reloaded.
So it really feels like Cam in a draft pick. I'd rather have it be Stidham in a draft pick.
Go, Bucks, go.
Sorry, Stidham.
Ugh.
Well, no. If one of those guys is going to emerge, and again, see, that's how I would phrase it. Because I think they're both bums at this stage. But if one of them is to actually get better, absolutely Stidham. No two ways about it.
Okay, so it's a simple take. It's actually logic. It's logic. He's the only one. He might be the only one who can save me from Cam Newton. So if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. So that's my developing opinion. What do you think of it? To you right after this.
Boston's home for sports. Failure Mass, 95 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Maz.
One big kindergarten classroom.
Really is. Just slinging poo at each other.
Daycare for grown-ups.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Okay, your phones. We're also going to have more on the latest between Mac Jones and Justin Fields and Trey Lance. And Mac Jones has a new super fan, which will be familiar to you, but we'll get to that here coming up in a second. First, Brody in Boston. Go ahead, Brody. Brody!
Hey, Felger. Hey, Felger, can you hear me?
Yes.
I have a three-part question. I'm going to hang up and listen afterwards, but what do you think is most likely of these three options? Number one, Cam Newton's mentorship, specifically his love and appreciation for the game, leads the path to a championship. Number two, a healthy Dak Prescott, alongside Jerry's ability to seek out offensive talent, brings a championship home to Dallas. Or number three, Lamar Jackson bounces back and beats New England in the AFC Championship. Okay. Thanks for taking my call. Thanks for listening.
Okay, so whatever you're asking me, Prescott on the Cowboys, Lamar Jackson on the Ravens, and Cam Newton and the Patriots. Cam Newton and the Patriots are last. Last. So I don't know exactly what that question was, but those two teams are good, and those two quarterbacks are good. Your quarterback blows. So he's third on that list, however you were asking that question.
What did he say? What is least likely or most likely?
I don't know.
I couldn't understand.
The other two scenarios, I like them better.
Thank you, Peter. And you could have drafted both of those players, FYI, but you've been too busy drafting defensive backs. So, again, back to this whole question of 4 years of neglect at this position has come home to roost to the point where I now am hitching my wagon to Jared Stidham. That's what this has come to. Peter and Woburn. Go ahead, Peter.
Hey, Newton, but that's okay. Hi, guys. I think Shanahan wanted the Patriots' first-round pick, and I think he was afraid we would use it to take Mac Jones. So he said he was going to take Mac Jones. And then the Patriots would have to trade for Garoppolo to get anything good. And that's why you have Belichick saying that. Yeah, he's fine with Cam Newton. He doesn't need anybody right now.
Okay, so there's that game of chicken. That the Niners knew the Patriots were in on Mac Jones. But because they wanted the Patriots' first-round pick, they put out there, they want Mac Jones. So the Patriots would have to get Garoppolo because you're not getting Mac Jones. That's it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You buy that?
I don't rule it out.
I do.
I mean, I don't rule it out because, again, let's say they really want Justin Fields. Well, they can take him on draft night. And so they'll change their mind or they'll lower their demands. Or now, again, do I think it's likely? I don't completely rule it out. I don't.
Okay. Do you trust Greg Bedard's analysis?
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, my God. We trust it implicitly. He's our big star guest during the football season.
Yeah,
what do you ask?
Well, wait, meh.
Well, no, he said, yeah, and then he went, sure. Well, because I have a level of skepticism towards everybody because we all get used.
Do you think Bedard's getting used?
I wouldn't rule it out.
Oh. Well, then, take this with a grain of salt.
So, and when I say getting used...
Mac Jones has a new fan. It's the big boy, Greg Bedard. He's looked at all the film. Listen to him on Mac Jones. Give me number one, Stu.
Mac Jones, to me, look, Nick, to be honest, I didn't want to believe the hype. I thought, you know, big, stiff, white guy at Alabama. We've seen this before with McCarron and other guys, Greg McElroy. You know, some of these guys who all of a sudden you hear from people are like, oh, yeah, no, what about he's a winner. I was blown away by Mac Jones. Here's where he separates himself from everybody else, in my opinion, in terms of the second tier guys. His accuracy is unbelievable. And he was not just sitting back there all day, having all day to throw. He just wasn't. He was under a good amount of pressure last year. Yes, he has unbelievable weapons to throw to, but you know, I'm not grading him up on throws to wide open guys. I just don't do that. And I would like to think that I know the difference between, you know, a guy who's schemed open, a guy who's thrown open, and the quickness of his release. I didn't think I was going to see that. When he makes a decision, he lets it rip. It's very quick. It's much quicker than Fields. It's much quicker than Lance.
Okay, he's big on Mac Jones. Big, after watching every throw that he had in college. So, I mean, all due respect to Greg, who we love, but is his reach great enough where Bill can influence or anyone if you think Greg's being used by someone? Well, what's Greg Bedard on his podcast with Nick Cattle's going to move?
No, I just, you know, Greg puts in a lot of time during the season watching tape. I just think he got around to watching tape on this kid and then just made an assessment. I don't think that there is.
He finally watched the tape.
Yeah. So again, but that's a different question. I believe that he watched the tape. I believe that's his assessment of it. But do I think that Greg has ever been used? Sure. Yeah.
Well, okay. In this case. You're unbelievable. You are doubting Bedard.
I always have my doubts.
Oh, wow.
About everybody.
Okay, so Bedard is all in. He's all in on Mac Jones. Pick this up here. He loves his footwork.
So I got to tell you that there's a part of this cut, and I think it's in here because I listened to them. That really kind of sent me into orbit.
Go ahead. Good. I want you in orbit. His footwork.
And the other thing about Mac Jones is that his feet are just... It's hard to describe, but he has this natural rhythm to how he gets back, how he gets into his throwing lane.
It's
uncanny for that's what when people see a pocket quarterback and they say, well, he's just going to be a big stiff or what have you. Like, name any other pocket quarterback that hasn't worked out in like the last 10 years. The feet are the feet and the release to me are the difference because all right, anybody can be accurate and he is ungodly accurate.
I agree.
But the feet and the quickness of the release, you put those two things together, and then all of a sudden now I see why he's drawing comparisons to a certain number 12.
Is that it, Maz?
No, believe it or not, it isn't.
That wasn't the one that set you in orbit?
No, but that irritated me too, actually. Like I said, Greg, don't do that. Don't. I love the big boy. I love him. I'm going to take him out and get him some corn on the cob for crying out loud. I love the big boy. Love him. But anytime anybody makes any comparison between anyone on the planet and Tom Brady, I lose it.
Okay, so that even wasn't it.
But that's not even it.
Okay, playing it. Let's see.
And then
you've already played it.
Oh, we did.
Yeah, but I'll hold on to it if you want.
Okay, hold on. What has set Maz into orbit? We'll rewind it so we know what the hell he's talking about, and you'll hear it after Big Jim Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Please, Mass. What the?
Felger and Mass.
What the F are we doing here?
98.5.
What are we doing?
The Sports Hub.
Our lead football analyst, when I say our, Felger and Mass's relied upon go-to football analyst, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, has looked at all the tape, every throw from every one of these big college quarterbacks coming out. And he's a big believer in Mac Jones. He's another guy buying on Mac Jones. And I'm fascinated by this particular case. And there's not much in a draft. I'm really not a draft guy, you know, obviously. And there's very little that gets me going on a draft. I find this one interesting because Mac Jones' style and skill set is so different than that of Lance and Fields. And the opinions are so divergent. You know, you got guys like Chris Sims saying every throw is a piss missile. And, you know, this is the guy and he throws it well as anyone in the draft. And this is a top three guy. And then you have a guy like Chris Gasper who says he's Jag Jones. He's AJ McCarron on his best day. And so, voices that I trust who watch the game, watch college football, watch film, they're all over the map on the guy. So there's a big bet here. There's a big take bet being placed. Who's right? Who's wrong? I'm fascinated to watch this. And how does that play out at the draft? So all of this interests me. So Bedard is the latest in on Mac Jones. We were replaying his analysis from his podcast on Boston Sports Journal. And there's one portion of the thing that just went right up Maz's mail chute. So let's finally get to it. Go ahead, Stu.
Throwing lane.
I agree.
So go ahead. Give me a little more context than that.
And the other thing about Mac Jones is that his feet are just, it's hard to describe, but he has this natural rhythm to how he gets back, how he gets into his throwing lane.
I agree.
Oh, good God. He's got this thing with his feet, this rhythm, which all sounds to me, in all honesty, from Greg as a very sort of off the cuff, like insightful, good analysis. I agree. What do we got? Herb Street and Gruden here in the trailer breaking down the film. Yeah, man, watch his grip. Watch his grip, man. Like that part of it, I'm holy crap. Are we dorking out? We got Bill Walsh and Hank Stram here breaking down the video.
Yeah, his feet are amazing.
Throwing lane.
I agree.
Like watching Michael Jackson moonwalk for the first time.
Look, and I'm not picking on Greg as much as I am Cattles, who used to work here. Greg's like a football dork. And I say that with all the love in my heart and respect for his knowledge. He gets off on this stuff and he sees it. I don't.
I agree.
He can see it in the offensive lineman, for crying out loud. Like, I get it with Greg. Nick's breaking down video. Well, I agree. Really? Do you think they're drawing up plays during the breaks? Like, did they take a, hey, look at this play. Watch this. X goes here, Y goes here, Z goes there. You run the back out on a wheel route, and then there you go. You run that. Like, guys, let's not get too geeked up over the whole thing, okay, in terms of the I love his feet. Ooh, I love, they get a little foot fetish.
That's
going
not
there.
What I do. If you want to do it, go ahead.
We don't need a dump on Nick. But
I love Nikki. I love Nikki.
I understand what you're saying.
That exchange was, oh my God. I heard that. And I wanted to vomit. I went, oh my God. Please. I agree. Okay. Again, we got Gruden and Herb Street sitting in there in the trailer. Rewind that. Watch that. Watch this release. I was peeing my pants when I heard that. Holy crap, did that bug me. I don't know why he did his bug the crap out of me. Oh, I'm done.
Either way, I am interested the whole thing. The whole thing.
Or we could do Gunner talk.
No, are the Niners buying on Jones? Or is that a big... Are they trying to fake out the... Like, all of that. We're going to find out here in the next week and a half. It's got to come down in and around the draft. This whole thing about the Niners going into camp to see if the quarterback's ready or not, that's not the equation. The calculus is the $24 million salary of Jimmy Garoppolo. Are you willing to hold it or not? Are you willing to pay it or not? If you're willing to pay it, then you're willing to pay it, and that's what's going to happen. And you're going to keep the guy. And you're not going to wait until the end of training camp to see whether, even if the rookie looks good in training camp, what does that really mean? You're not going to know until the bullets start flying. So once Jimmy Garoppolo's on the roster week one, it's guaranteed. And by then, you know, maybe you've shut out any good trade options. The best trade options are going to be this week, the night of the draft. It's for real now. So are you screwing around on Garoppolo, or do you really mean to keep him? And is the Mac Jones thing a subterfuge to get the Patriots to bite? Because if it is, that some people really love the guy. And so, like, this all is about to play out. And the long and short of it is, the only two guys you still have after 13 months after Tom Brady left is Newton and Stidham. You haven't done anything else at the position, which is just freaking gross. It is such a fail how they've managed the thing that this is all you've got left. And it's to the point where I'm now on Stidham, that if this is really what you're going to do, and this is really what I'm left with, and you're going to now start feeding me all this Stidham crap again like you did last year, then fine. Give him the job. Let him win the job, and let me watch that guy this year as opposed to Cam Newton again. Because there might be some upside on Jared Stidham. I doubt it, but there's a might there. There's a maybe. There's a 5% chance, a 2% chance, whatever. Cam Newton is 0.0.
Yeah, but Mike, with all the pull that Cam Newton clearly has in that locker room with a large amount of the players in there.
Good point.
How's it ever going to happen?
It won't. It's a good point. It's a good point.
They can't bench him. Like, there'd be, I don't know, mutiny, but players would be pissed.
You're married to Cam. You're married to the worst quarterback in the league. That's how badly you've butchered this Brady transition. You're married, attached at the hip, to the worst guy in the league.
I don't put as much stock in the whole Newton, you know, mutiny thing if they were to cut him or bench him or whatever as you guys do, because it would mean that a year ago, that Devin McCourty was telling us the same crap about Jared Stidham, for crying out loud. So, like, at the end of the day, you go whoever the best quarterback is, and the players will follow that decision. Bill will have to sell some of him on it, but he'll just call McCourty in. He'll call in his leaders and say, I'm going to do this, and I need you behind me. And those guys, to their credit to some degree, will line up behind him.
Fine, you're giving me more hope for Jared Stidham then.
Oh, I told you, I'm all right with Stidham.
Look, if Bill's just going to ignore the position.
Over and, Newton, I mean.
And be stubborn on the position, and this is what we're actually going to do this again, Newton Stidham. Then fine, give me Jared Stidham. Fine, I'll buy all this offseason bullcrap. He's taken the reins. He's showing much more assertiveness. He's looked really good. Fine. Okay.
Okay.
No problem. Yeah, I'm not going to buy Cam Newton.
Okay, so just to clarify, though, I'm saying Stidham over Newton only.
Right, yeah, well, that's what I'm saying, too.
That's an either-or proposition.
Right, exactly.
Okay, you tell me that it's Garoppolo, or you tell me that it's
anyone
else.
Bridgewater. Oh, give me Teddy Bridgewater any day of the week.
I'll take those guys first. But if you're saying one or the other, it's that one of them's going to be the starting quarterback, Stidham or Newton, I'll still take Stidham.
Yep, there it is. Okay, that's what we've been resorted to. That's what we've been reduced to by how badly the Patriots have handled the quarterback thing.
I agree.
Thank you, Nick. Long commercial-free segment is next. Oh, I think we're going to throw for outside linebackers, right? We got to put outside linebackers on the Felger and Maz big board. We'll do that in a long commercial-free segment and your phones, I promise. Don't go anywhere.
We should have done more Gunner talk in July.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You are a sorry liar. You are a sad, sorry lot.
98.5.
Literally pathetic.
The Sports Hub.
Here's Chris Jones, Mississippi State. Strengths: agile lower body to sidestep blocks and operate in small spaces.
He's got good technique.
Weaknesses: high hipped.
High hips. The high hips always a problem. Good for childbearing, not so much for defensive tackle.
Draft talk is so dumb. It's not. This is why we do this, to show you how stupid it is to talk about the draft. His weaknesses is that his hips are high. High hipped. High hipped.
I had that problem as a kid.
His belt rides a little more. You can see his ass crack. High-hipped. High-hipped.
He plays a little stiff.
Doesn't consistently bend at his knees. This is a stiff fella. High-hipped. 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 I've never heard that before.
I like him. Good value.
Mean high hips. High-hipped. And doesn't consistently bend at the knees. Who is this? Herman Munster plays flat-footed, narrow-based, inconsistent pad level off the snap, rushing upright and struggling to get underneath blockers. Sounds like my grandfather. He plays flat-footed. Who is this? Flat-footed.
Check it and see.
Flat-footed. Flat-footed. You folks have to listen to Jones and Keefe at night. They know, they've heard of this critter, and they know he's high-hipped, and they know what his trichondral is and where he projects on the board. They know it. They will tell you. They will spend 10 minutes on it, where this guy is going to go in the second round, and how the high hips are going to factor in. High-hipped. High-hipped. So anyway, put it on the board.
Another blast from the past there. Chris Jones turned into a really good player. Once again, proving how silly most of this pre-draft analysis is. His hips were too high. The guy's a really good NFL player. Felger and Maz's Big Board and exclusive draft coverage is brought to you by the Peterson School, drafting the hardest working people in the trades in Woburn, Westwood, and now Worcester. Classes enrolling now at petersonschool.com. Outside linebackers will be on the board. We got three Chucks with the little footballs and the markers. Murray and Maz here from our Town for Tire Studios. We are ready to go. Murray with the first throw.
Big one. Big round here.
Ooh, that was blue, right?
Blue. It's a big splat. That would be Cameron McGrone. Not to be confused with McBone. Cameron McGrone from Michigan. Put him on the board. We'll do we'll do the three pages here of my Lindy's guide because they have the most ridiculous write-ups. Maz's turn, Maz.
The McBone will make you McGrone.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, I'm going green again.
Yeah, throw it!
Nice.
Get
the picture.
Yeah, I see it. Good one. Okay. This is an Ohio State kid. Let's see. I think this is Hamilcar Rashid. Hamilcar Rashid Jr.
All right. Okay.
Hamilcar Rashid Jr. Do I have that right? Oh, no. Or is it Pete Werner? Who is this?
I like the first guy better.
There's two Ohio State guys. They don't identify the pitcher.
I'll throw again if you want.
No. That's so annoying.
We take them both.
Which Ohio State guy is it?
What number is he?
Number 5.
Okay, I'll find out.
Find out. Or is it Baron Browning? It's Baron Browning. They have three Ohio State guys on this page.
Love it.
Baron Browning, that's who he hit.
So, Burt Prier must have written it.
For the record, Baron Browning, Ohio State, that's who Maz hit. Okay, it took me a while to figure it out because I had three Ohio State guys on that page. Okay, Murray, here's the final throw. Put those two on the board. Murray, you've been doing good with the throws recently. Go ahead, don't hit
better, me. Murray, better, not good. Go. Ooh, good one. Top left, right at the clip.
Yep, I see it. That would be Chris Rumpf, the second. Give the governor a harumph. Chris Rumpf.
I was just going to say his brother.
From Duke. Maz, outside linebacker, are you in need of the Patriots here?
Oh, yeah, absolutely in need. Harumph. It's like the Mingo brothers. Barkevius, Hugh, and Hugh-tavius. I don't know why that still makes me laugh, but it does.
You're still fuming about the Nick Cattle thing.
Oh, seriously. I'm all geeked up by that. I got to come back down.
Okay, the three players on the board here.
I don't like our picks today. I can't lie to you. I don't like them. I don't like the way I've been throwing.
Why don't you
ever
listen?
Since I broke the TV, I've been holding back on the release.
Cameron McGrone. Give the governor a McGrone. Michigan, 6'1", 236. Strengths, flashes quick speed and excellent range.
Too small.
Offering money backer like speed. Money backer? That's so.
Yeah, don't be confused with the honey badger. He's the money backer.
That is so corny. Offering money backer like speed to both close in on tackles and offer sideline to sideline range. Moves well and handles short coverage assignments at a promising rate. Should be used as a will linebacker, Maz. That's weak side. Cattles. allowing him to capitalize on his skill set and minimize his weaknesses. His weaknesses are...
Here we go.
Often gets stuck on blocks rather easily.
I mean, again, we're getting all the little guys.
Leaving him a non-factor in the run game.
Yeah, no good.
Out. He's out.
Yep. And again, he's Michigan, right?
Yep.
Yeah, this is what got Winovich's ass on the bench at time last year.
And isn't Uche a Michigan guy?
Yes, they already have a couple of these guys.
Yeah, they're going to stay away from that.
Quick in coverage, but doesn't offer much length nor extraordinary arms. His arms are not extraordinary to swat away passes. Will likely have issues about his overall frame, too, which is athletic enough to handle RBs, but maybe not TEs.
Small. He's whittle.
Cameron McBrone.
Again, we're hitting on all these little linebackers. Bill's not going to take these little squirts.
It's true. How about Baron Browning, Ohio State? 6'3", 240.
Okay,
size.
This kid's got a little potential.
6'3", 240. Strengths. Explosive athlete who can overwhelm opponents and has incredible range and lateral mobility to roam from sideline to sideline.
Like that.
Swiss Army knife.
Oh, there you go.
With nice pursuit and blitzing skills. But also the athleticism to cover and match up with offensive weapons.
Feels to me like you're describing Jamie Collins. Keep going.
Diagnosis plays between the tackles and on the outside showed strong growth in his graduation year.
Okay, there you go. That's the guy.
Weaknesses. Can look elite, but just as often leaves you disappointed. He has been hyped on potential each year, and the growth may never be what his gifts suggest.
Bad coaching.
Often fooled by misdirection. And things only get more complicated at the next level.
Yeah, well, Bill will coach that out of him. Those are coaching things.
He sounds promising to me.
He does. I agree. What's his name? Baron Browning?
Baron Browning. Even a good name.
I like it.
A cool name.
Yeah, I like it. He's our guy. I like him.
Okay, number five in your scorebook there at the Ohio State University. Now gets the harumpher here at Duke. Chris Rumpf II.
The second.
So there's another Chris Rumpf roaming the planet. 6'3", 235, lean, lanky frame with plenty of room for additional muscle mass.
Good.
Possesses legitimate NFL burst off the snap.
Get him on some good steroids.
Demonstrating, the explosive initial quickness to blow past offensive tackles to create instant pressure off the edge. Complementing his upfield speed is the core flexibility needed to efficiently turn the corner with ability to duck under the reach of would-be blockers while accelerating. Weaknesses. Will be viewed by some as a classic tweener.
Mm-hmm.
Officially listed at 235 and looks it on tape. More time in the weight room needed.
So he's a tweener, which means he's a hybrid.
Or the lab. Ruff Rumpf is stronger than he looks, but simply lacks
talent.
Here, finally, we get to this goofy analysis. Listen to this one, Maz. Rumpf is stronger than he looks. But simply lacks the sand in his pants to hold up when blockers are able to latch on. So is that a big lump of sand in your pants, or you just got a big set of balls, buddy? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, all we can do is just stick a needle in there with that sand. We'll be ready to go get him up to speed.
He lacks the sand in his pants. Okay. Put him on the board, be that as it may.
Which side of his pants is the sand?
Okay, just
because if it's in the front, that might be part of the problem.
Dump a big load of sand in his pants, and you can't move the guy. You got three more on the board. That thus concludes the Felger Maz big board.
I hate our linebackers. I don't like them overall. I like the Ohio State kid.
Yep, Brandon Browning. Brandon Browning. Put him on the board. Okay, Baron Browning. Put him on the board. And put this guy with the sand in his pants on the board, too. Chris Rumpf, the second. Back to your calls. We've hit on everything today. Okay, we circle back to the Brad Stevens contract thing with some great Jeff Goodman sound. We did a Bruins minute and taking a harder look at that team and what they really need now to contend for the cup. Because if they're going to tease us like this, well, we might as well now go all in and look at all their faults and see if they can be corrected. So we've done that. And honestly and obviously, the John Henry thing, the pile of dung he stepped in on the in Britain with the soccer world. That's maybe the lead story. We'll take your calls on that. I promise. Your phone's on all of it right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.